New life. Amen. Oh my goodness. Everybody's getting spoken to in the worship. And so was I. So I got to tell you something. You know that phrase that says, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. So I walk every morning because I like to walk. I listen and I worship. And I was walking along and all of a sudden I was hearing this song. Your goodness is running after. You know, you don't want to hear me, but I was just going, wait. And God reminded me of this situation that happened in my life. Teenagers. Oh my goodness. I think I've told it. Oh my goodness. So I was running from a cop because he was chasing me down because I'd run away from home and I was running and running. And God says, that was goodness running after you. That was goodness running after you. And I tripped and I fell and he picked me up and he called me white trash. But God wanted to redeem that memory. Say, that was me running after you because I was chasing you down and I caught you, son. And he got me up. The police got me up and took me back to my dad. My dad said, oh, it's like you're a wild animal let out of the cage. And I was. But isn't it good that God can redeem situations by messages that he gives to you? And I just want to tell you, there are things in our lives that God wants to do a redo, a rethink over. And there may be some of you that are running from God. But let me tell you, you can't outrun him. I know that. I was really faster than that policeman. I think I wanted to get caught. But anyway, you can't outrun God, can we? He is searching us down. You know why? I don't have to tell you why, you know, because he loves us. He loves us so much. He's not going to give up on us. Maybe the prayers of your mama or your daddy are motivating God to bring people into your life. Maybe it's your workmates, whatever. But we cannot outrun the goodness of God. But isn't it good in worship? God will speak to us. I think we've had two, right? Got spoken to this morning, Julie and Mike. So, and there's many others. So that's the Spirit of God in us, just doing his work. However it happens, whoever it comes from, isn't God good? Isn't God good? All the time, he is good. All right. My name is Ed Cook and my beautiful wife, would you stand up, Deborah? I think I told you this. This 40 years of marriage. All right. And we're going to Hawaii because it's on my bucket list. I grew up surfing in the South Texas. I've surfed California and in Mexico and Texas. My bucket list has always been Hawaii. All right. So, and you know, I think I've told you before, she's kind of in this infatuation thing with Mark Twain. She's an English teacher. She likes Mark Twain. And, but you know, Mark Twain went to Hawaii. And he actually gave the first account of surfing. He tried it. He was miserable at it. But he actually gave the first account back in the age 60 of surfing. So I'm going to go on the same beach that he was on, Waikiki. Anybody ever been to Oahu? Isn't there a lot of people there? All right, so I'm going to go there. Yeah. And I'm going to try to do it. I'm too old to surf. But you got to say you tried, right? You got to relive. Got to relive. But my name is Ed Cook. This is my beautiful wife, Deborah. We are going to celebrate our 40th in a big way soon. So I want to start off just saying it's been good to be in the house of God to echo some of the things that have already been said. It's good just to be with God. You know, the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom of God, that God shares his grace with all of us. So there's so many things that we can learn from each other if we'll just listen. So many situations, even in this house, as we gather together, we can hear from one another. It may just be a hello. It may just be God's got this word for me. But we can learn from each other. And that's the way God wants it. Well, I'm still employed. I cannot figure out how to retire. If anybody's got wisdom, and today is a little bit about wisdom. If anybody's got some wisdom, I can't figure out how to land this plane. And Deborah told me the other day, says, you know, when you get home, I'm going to have a list and you can't take naps. I'm going, I think I'm going to put two more years in than I thought. I said, well, okay. So I don't know if I've ever had a career. I think I've just had a lot of jobs that God has put me in. Deborah and I have both been in campus ministry. I was in remodeling for a while. I converted Richard and Chris Beatty's garage for their mother, Yuffie, back in 1985. And I've known Richard and Chris that long. And then I worked for an auto manufacturer. Then I served in some roles in two churches, 16 years as a teacher, as a coach and a principal at a school. Deborah and I have three wonderful children, and I like repeating this, even if you've heard it. Children are wonderful. They're a blessing from God. We have 9 grandchildren so far. I'm not expecting to stop there, that they're going to stop there. Our son's ahead of a Christian school in Austin. A middle daughter's the wife of an associate pastor and worship leader at First Baptist Irving. He's actually preaching this morning. And our youngest and her husband have just had their first child in Denver, Colorado. She had to move from Texas, but if you're going to move to any place, isn't it good that she's in Denver so I can go to the mountains? Because I love the mountains in the summer. You can have the winter and skiing. I love them in the summer. So we've got a place to go. She had her first child, and we love being there. They're pursuing Jesus. All three of our children are educators. Between us, we've homeschooled, public school, charter school, private Christian school, university model school. We've done it all. Deborah's a retired English teacher, currently subbing when she can at Denton ISD when she's able. I will say this about education. You know, we have some challenges in our education system. 90% of the population of our nation is educated in public schools. We definitely have. And I'm not saying public schools are not a place to go to, because it has to do with the parents. But parental involvement is the key. As a principal, here's my pie chart. You know what a pie chart is? Said how much of this? My pie chart is the biggest pressure and challenge is not the curriculum, it's not the teachers, it's the peer pressure on a child. So it's what the other kids are talking about, doing, challenging. That's why the parents have to be totally engaged with their kids. I don't care where they go to school. I've seen it even in Christian schools. You get challenged, all right? Be involved in your kid's life. Learn to talk. Learn to communicate. Communication's not easy, but it's important. It's important. Parents, know where God wants you to take your kids and be involved there. We've known Jim and Chris since the early 90s. Jim served in a church that Deborah and I were involved in. When he came as a youth pastor, Austin and Reagan were in the school that I was a principal of, and Christine worked in my office. Deborah and I love the man's, and spent some time with Jim about 2 weeks ago. He's moving forward. He just says, hey, I need a job. You know, Jim is a great college professor. He's very good, and he's always had some adjunct positions. So he just said, just pray that I'll find that place. He was recently going to look at a job at King's University. Deborah and I are involved in marriage and family ministry. I believe that the future of this country is happening in our homes. Back in 2015, when our Supreme Court unhitched the concept of marriage, we lost something, folks. We lost something. All right. It's no longer between a man and a woman. That was our Supreme Court. That was a government in our land. And so it unhitched total confusion. That's why we are where we are. So we believe that it's so important for marriages to be healthy. If I have any word of wisdom for parents, marriages and their children, that is, Model what you want your kids to be. Just model. Just be an example. All right. Thanks for listening. I feel like some sermons have already been preached today, but I think I gotta finish mine here. Did you know this Saturday is Tell a Joke Day? Well, in the home group, small group, the Murray group that I'm involved in, I always start off with my jokes, which are pretty bad. But, you know, it all kind of bubbles up. There's usually a few. So Landry says, why did the elementary school girl take a ladder to class? She wanted to be in high school. Thank you, Landry. Sean said, why did the pilgrim's trousers keep falling down? Well, he wore a buckle on his hat. What happened to the two frogs who double parked? This is for you, Shane. On the street. Well, they were towed away. All right, that's enough. Y'all get your jokes. Y'all get your jokes ready. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this passage today out of James 3, 13 through 18 about wisdom. Six verses. We're going to talk about wisdom. Who all needs wisdom? We all need wisdom for all the things that we get involved in. All the things we get involved in. So let's listen to the passage and I'm going to present it. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by their good life, by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it's earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder in every evil practice. If the fruit is bad, the source is bad. Basically, if the fruit is good, the source is good. That's my comment. Verse 17, by the wisdom that comes from heaven, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, good fruit, impartial, sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Good fruit comes from a good source. Bad fruit comes from a bad source. If you're seeing bad things happen in your life, you better check your source. Better check who you're getting your podcast from, whatever you're doing. If you've got good fruit coming out, well, you're probably drinking from the right well. Amen? That's just normal and natural. We all know wise people. Matter of fact, those that are public, we listen to them. We listen to their podcasts. We want to get wisdom. A lot of times it'll be financial. It may be educational. It may be relationship. But we like to listen to them because we like to hear what they say. Maybe they will allow us to skip over something, a trial or tribulation that we don't want to walk through. They're not free from problems necessarily. They don't seem to get off track and lose perspective. When we think of wise people from the Bible, who do we think about? Jesus, of course. How about Moses, David, Elijah, and of course Solomon. Now Moses is a humble man. He didn't have everything together. David definitely didn't have everything together. You can check me on this, but one time I checked, how many chapters in the Bible are written about David? I think they're about 60. How would you like your life dissected and viewed like that? No way. But you know what the Bible says about David? You know that. Yes. He was a man after God's heart. He screwed up. But you know what? He repented and he got back on track and he got it right. And that's what we have to be as well. We have to be humble. Elijah, obedient to God. Now Solomon, that's who we normally think about. Writer of Proverbs, Song of Songs, Ecclesiastes. And maybe this is who James was thinking about in the first chapter of James when he mentions wisdom. Before we get to that chapter, I just want to say here are a couple of verses, one out of Psalms and one out of Proverbs The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Proverbs 9 verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So what exactly is wisdom? We can see its fruit, but what exactly is it? Is it intelligence? Just knowing something? James says, hey, the demons know that God is God, but they ain't obeying him. That's not wisdom. Is it just having that knowledge? Strong's says this, it's a broad and full intelligence, and it's used of knowledge of very diverse matters. It's the practice of requisites of godly living and upright living. It's putting into practice what we know to be true. Simple. I got an amen. It's putting into practice what we know to be true, right? We know, how about the check engine light? How many of you have had a check engine light? Come on. Oh yeah. Well, that's a warning. All right. That can be, okay, just need to figure out something. Or it could be, this is bad. All right. So what do you do when the check engine light comes on? Well, I know some people that have driven their car forever and blown their engine. All right. So we're intelligent enough to know, hey, warning, warning, warning. But are we wise enough to know, hey, maybe we need to get that seen to. Maybe we need to take it down to the auto parts place and get them to run a code on it. We want to get by the $190 that the repair shop will charge us just for scoping a code. But that's what wisdom is knowing something and then doing something about it. Knowing something, doing something about it. How about this situation? This is a situation sometimes that we find ourselves in. There's more month than there is money to make ends meet. How many of you ever been in that situation? Just things weren't making. All right. We know that. Wisdom says, what are you going to do about it? So what we do about it is we go to people who know about it and we learn. And we go to John and Chandra's class from Dave Ramsey and we find out how to make a budget and work a budget and work with it. Or how about struggling with a friendship? We know we got problems. What are we going to do about it? We go and seek help. We seek out someone to give us some sort of idea on how to get the relationship healthy. The Bible says in the abundance of counselors, there's victory. Unfortunately, we don't start off wise. Mark Twain says, you know, it would be infinitely happier. We would be happier if we could only be born at the age of 80 and gradually approach 18. Well, that just assumes that all the things and experiences, good, bad, and ugly that we've had at age 80, we learn from. But that's not always the way it happens, is it? We don't start off wise. But it takes time. It takes patience. It takes learning from others. So here are the three things I want us to get. We need to know wisdom. Know that it comes from God. This is godly wisdom. We need to grow in wisdom. And we need to show wisdom. True wisdom begins by knowing the source where it comes from. In order to receive from God, we need to know our trust is in God, who he is. James 1:5 says this, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. That already came out once. Just ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I was riding to Waco this week to pick up a couple of trucks. You know, there was a brother in the car with me, and he said, you know, one thing this guy challenged me to do is write down every prayer request that I have. Now, I'm not a good journaler. My wife is awesome. And I'm just kind of listening to this guy. You know, you as a guy, you're doing this? And, cause it's not a big guy thing, but maybe it is. It's not a good big Ed thing. So he said, yeah. And he said, I did it for a year. And did you know God answered every single one of my prayers? And I'm thinking, he's got to be lying. And I said, well, what do you mean he answered every prayer? He said, well, he said, it wasn't always how I asked for it, but he responded to every single thing. I'm thinking, whoa. And he said, it built my faith measurably. And he said, try it. His faith grew because he saw God working in his life. Now, God's real efficient, and that's why James starts off. In James 1, he says, consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And if any of you lacks wisdom, here's where the verse comes in, it will be given to him. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea. So there are a few things that James gives to us in that. One is that God is efficient and he lets us go through trials. That's unfair, but he's very efficient. Some of the messes we make, right? Some of the messes he makes or she makes, you know, whoever it is, but still we're going through them. We didn't have anything to do with them, but oh, we still need help. But God allows those things to happen in us, doesn't he? So that we would grow and we would look to him. He's a good father. He also wants us to mature. How many of you want your kids to grow up? You don't want them to stay in the terrible twos or whatever you call it. Sorry. All right. You know, we have expectations, don't we, of our kids growing and maturing and someday taking care of us. That's just the regular maturation process. God has that same thing. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow. Scriptures say he'll answer us if we ask him. He says he's generous. He'll give us more than we ask for. Ooh, he doesn't find fault. In other words, he's not giving us stuff only a little bit. If we're only a little bit good, he's going to give us more than we deserve. That's just the nature of God. It's the nature of God. But he wants us to use our faith. He wants us to step out and trust him. And the way I look at this passage, it says, don't doubt or else you won't faith. Because I think about the guy who asked Jesus to heal his son. He says, all you'd have to do is believe, Jesus said. And he says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. That's scripture commentating on scripture. God knows. He's going to take that little bit of faith and he's going to encourage it to grow. So trust him. So you need to know your source, and that's God. Let me talk just a moment about Solomon. Solomon, before David handed the kingdom over to him, he gave a charge to his son. And he said this, I'm about to go the way of all the earth. So act like a man, be strong, observe what the Lord your God requires, walk in obedience to him, keep his decrees and his commands and regulations. Do this and you'll prosper in all that you do wherever you go. And the Lord may keep his promise. And if your descendants watch how they live, they will faithfully follow me with all their heart and soul. You will never fail to have a successor on the throne. Then we know the story. David passed away. God met Solomon in a dream. He says, what do you want? And what did he ask for? He asked for wisdom. And God blessed that. He says, since your heart's desire and you have not asked for wealth, possessions, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for long life, but for wisdom and knowledge, to govern my people over whom I have made you king. Therefore, wisdom and knowledge will be given you, and I will give you wealth, possessions, and honor such as no king who has ever come before you, and none will come after you will have it like you have. So God was generous to him. He asked for wisdom. God answered him and gave him wisdom. We know that he was one of the most intelligent men on the face of the earth, did tremendous things. So remind yourself, this is knowing God, who God is. Keep a prayer journal like this gentleman that was writing with me, so you can remember that God is faithful to answer prayers. When you read the word, continue to ask yourself, what is this telling me about the Lord? And then testimony is really important. Tell others what God is doing in your life. It impresses it on you, and it reminds them and encourages them. So you know wisdom that way. Now you got to grow wisdom. Oh, man. Perseverance. James 1:4. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Allow these trials and tribulations to work maturity, trust and patience and self-control in you and me. You know, James says God has planted a seed in us. It's a divine seed. Peter says the same thing. It's a divine seed. That's the spiritual man or woman, however you want to look at, that he's placed in us, and he wants it to grow. He says this, James 21, humbly accept the word planted in you. So I'm going to go over really quickly to Galatians 5:16-26 and just remind us that we are spiritual beings. We do still have a carnal nature. All right. So we need to feed the spirit, starve the flesh, feed the spirit, starve the flesh, feed the spirit, starve the flesh. Hey, our flesh wants all kinds of things. We know that. All right. But our spirit desires to grow in God. So we need to know how to feed it. How do we feed it? We worship. We stay in front of his word. Listen to this conflict that Paul talks about. I say walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Not flesh. Now he's talking to Christians. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. And so you're not able to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. And then he goes through the acts of the flesh. And a couple of those things are what's mentioned in our text. These things, hatred, discord, jealousy, bad things are coming out because your source is bad. Then he talks about the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there's no law. It's important to know our source, to grow in our source. And how do we do it? Be in God's word every day. Now, here's something about God's word. I've always been challenged by Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees knew the word of God better than you or I ever know it. They just knew it backwards and forwards, not the New Testament, the Old Testament. In a conversation in John 5:39, Jesus challenges him. He says, you know, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The scriptures are our door into the relationship with Jesus Christ. Go in and fellowship with him. Start your worship time. Start your time by going to God's word. And then let his spirit begin to speak to your spirit. Just checking off the box, I read this today, is not deep enough. It may be a start, but what we continue to have to do is have to listen for God, what he's telling us. Just like some of us did this morning, we're worshiping and we hear God speak to us or remind us what he's doing. That's the kind of relationship that we need to develop. Pray and worship, listen every day. Fellowship with God's people regularly. God has, he says, the Spirit of God distributes the gifts among so that we can be built up and encouraged, both large group and in small groups. Get into a small group. I can't tell you how encouraged I am by just being with our group that we're with, the Murray group. You know, whether it be Ace's stories or things that Ann shares or Stacy picking out some worship songs and talking about them and us being encouraged. You know, just being built up, just being praying for one another. This is where we begin to see the wisdom of God through the talent, skills, and spiritual gifts of others. And finally, our lives need to show wisdom. It's not any different than some of the other ministers have preached. Let your walk and your talk be right. If we're drawing from the well that is Jesus, the fruit is going to be good. It's going to be good. If we're drawing from another well, the fruit won't be so good. And then we'll need help. Our actions can neutralize the power of what we say. In a sense, it's denying the very life of Christ within us. Because, folks, what we proclaim and what others think is that there's something different about us. What's in us is the Spirit of God to change us. So they want to see change. I want to see change. And that encourages others. It may cause some conflict because people don't agree, but that's what we want to see. And if you fall, that's okay. Get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times, but rises again. Folks, we've got it all in the scriptures. The good, bad, and the ugly. People that have done it good, people that have done it bad. Look at the people that have done it good. They're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But just keep rolling. Make sure what we say and do, we're in harmony. Our deeds and actions reflect a spirit-controlled life. Always walk in humility before God. This is a definition I learned a long time ago. Recognize that God and others are actually responsible for the achievements and blessings in my life. I kind of want to end, in a sense, on a sad note here about Solomon. Solomon was a wise man. God gave him wisdom, and he did a great job, except he didn't finish well, folks. There is a difference between us. We have the Spirit of God living in us. He did not. All right? So this is not to be discouraging. This is just some information for us to know. He was led astray. He had 700 wives. Whoa. 300 concubines. Whoa. And his wives led him astray. All right. We can never stop, folks. We can never stop pursuing God. May God give us grace. He said he followed the Astras. He followed the God of Molech. Bad dude. Bad God. He said Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He did not follow the Lord completely, as his father David has done. We know David wasn't perfect, but he turned and he repented. Solomon never did. Humility is so important. Here's what I think might have happened. Again, it's an argument from silence. In the book of Deuteronomy, this was long before the kings, 400 years before the kings. God gives a requirement to the kings. Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, speaking of a king, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the Levitical priest. You get that? The king was to go to the priest and say, give me a copy. I need to copy as the king what this law is. It's to be with him. He is to read it all the days of his life so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law, these decrees, and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites. and turn from the law to the right or the left, then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom. You get that? God wants us to be involved in his word. If he gave that message to a king, he's given it to us as well. Be involved, be engaged in God's word. So godly wisdom, it begins with knowing who God is. We don't deserve such a good God. He pursues us. He loves us. He doesn't find fault, but he plants his precious seed in him. He allows trials and tribulations to mess with us until we say, okay, God, I got to get into agreement with you. What do you want me to learn out of this? And we ask him, give us wisdom, because God is very efficient. We need to make every effort to grow in God by being in his word, being in fellowship, being in worship with other Christians. And then we need, it's almost like it just happens. Good fruit comes. You don't have to work at it. The work was pursuing God. The fruit is the love, the joy, the peace, the patience. It just happens. It just happens. Show by our lives that there is a God who reigns and then he lives in us. In Ephesians 3, as I close here, Paul talks about that the church displays the wisdom of God. The church does. And he's displaying it to the powers and principalities of what his real purpose is. And that is that the church here on earth will display the goodness of God. Christ is taken from the earth right now. So God has us to display his beauty, his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his power. He has only us to really display the way he wants. So we're the church. You know, in each of us that have made our decision to believe in Christ, God has put a plan and a purpose. And you know that God speaks that purpose into your life. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. He's got a plan. And he's constantly speaking to us if we'll listen. He's constantly speaking to us because he wants the image of Christ to grow in us and to bless others. Is God speaking to you? Are you listening through his word? Are you listening through others? Are you listening through the worship? I mean, sometimes it's just a thought. But God loves me, you, all of us, that he's constantly speaking to us to grow in us to the image of Christ. So the world would know he's a God who loves us. I don't know if there's any other motion that's greater than a parent with their children. We'll do anything for our children. Almost anything. Our Father in heaven sent Jesus so that we would have life in fellowship with him. He said his one and only son he gave so that we might have life if we would just believe. He gave up his only son for us. That's how much he loves us. Some of us know that. Some of us haven't believed yet in what God has done through Christ. So as we close, let's just bow our heads for a moment. God, you are good. Really too good for us. We don't deserve your goodness. We've run from you. We have shunned you. We haven't pursued you. And yet you've pursued us. And you've blessed us. And you placed your spirit within us so that we would have fellowship with you. And we would, as the body of Christ, encourage and bless one another. So Father, right now I ask that if there's someone in this room who hasn't made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ, to have that relationship with you, I pray today would be the day that they would say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross in obedience to the Father. And I receive new life. Lord, there's others of us here that need a touch from your spirit, that are lacking wisdom, that are struggling. And we've even heard that already. And thank you for your message. Father, we ask that you would speak to each heart in each need that is there to bring encouragement. Lord, there might be someone here that needs a touch of your healing power. We pray, Lord, that you would meet that need according to your way and your will in Jesus' name. Lord, there may be others that are harried by evil because we've dabbled in things we shouldn't have. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break that off. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that you would bring fellowship among your people, continued fellowship and strength in the body. We receive every good word that's been spoken over this body. That which has been spoken by the overseers and by members. We thank you for that, Lord. And Father, today, we thank you that you've called us as your church. Church, let's stand together, receive his blessing. And now, church, let's display his goodness and his love this week as we go forward. You and I have gifts that God has given us. Use them. Use them for God's grace, his blessing. Use them. Grow in it. Pray. Seek God. Listen to him. I'm preaching to me. Lord, we bless you. There's no one like you. We bless you, Lord. And we thank you. And we receive what you're continuing to do here. Lord, we do just agree that you have the leadership for this church that you desire. I thank you for each member here. May we continue to pursue you and to pray. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.